Meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will now come to order. Time, please.
7:12 p.m.
Thank you. In accordance with the provision of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through public notice on June 26, 2014. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, I read that right. Faxing the three newspapers designated by the board, Hunterdon County Democrat, Hunterdon Review, and Express Times, posting on the district website, the main bulletin board, and the administrative office, and in each of the Clinton Township schools. And lastly, faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mrs. Spitzer, can we please have a roll call?
Ms. Grant?
Here.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Here.
Mr. Freda?
Present.
Mrs. Hand?
Here.
Mr. Malloy?
Here.
Mr. McTiernan?
Present.
Mr. Petuto?
Here.
Mr. Sabergis?
Here.
And Mrs. Verderamo. Sorry, I didn't mean to stutter.
Thank you. Mr. Malloy, would you please lead us in the pledge?
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Hand, would you please be the process guardian for this evening? Thank you. Good evening. Today is Monday, July 14th, 2014. I'd like to welcome all of you to the special meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education. During tonight's meeting, the Board of Education will work with Ms. Gwen Thornton, our field service representative from the NJSBA, to review the board's self-evaluation of its performance from January 2014 through June 2014. This was recently completed by members of the Board of Education and Dr. Clark, our CSA. It's also to establish board goals for our district, specifically for the 2014-15 academic year. It's important for the Board of Education to develop, follow, and execute annual goals. The formulation of our goals will help us set priorities and create a set of objectives that will allow the district to focus their efforts and resources on improving and maintaining effectiveness of our district's educational program. Tonight, we will establish our goals that will take effect tonight through June 30 of next year. We'll look to develop our board goals from our primary goals and areas of focus from our superintendent, Dr. Clark, and from our district strategic plan that was established approximately 4 years ago. Dr. Clark will work with her leadership team to establish an action plan designed to achieve these goals that we will establish this evening. Several times throughout this academic year, Dr. Clark will provide the Board of Education and public with a review of how the district is performing to those goals. In the late spring of 2015, the Board of Education will evaluate its performance to these goals and will evaluate the performance of our CSA, Dr. Clark's performance to these goals as well. The Board of Education will then establish a new set of goals next July. Before we begin our work with Ms. Thornton, the board just has a couple of committee action items we need to address, and then we'll work with Ms. Thornton. Before we go to our committee reports, I would first like to recognize Ms. Heather Spitzer, our district business administrator and board secretary. Mrs. Spitzer, as all of you know, has accepted a position as a school business administrator in another district. And on behalf of the Board of Education here in Clinton Township, I'd like to thank you for your hard work while you've been here in Clinton Township, and we'd like to wish you the best of luck in your new position.
Thank you.
Okay, now moving on to our committee reports. Our first committee report, well, actually, let's do this first. Let's do our public comment section first. I'd like to open the floor to our first public comment section on agenda items only. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 167 limits comments to 3 minutes. We will adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a very fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comment section is for comments made by the public. It's not an interactive session between the board and the public. This too is defined by our bylaw. The board will make notes during this time of any questions or comments that a member of the public will make at the microphone. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question or questions, it will be answered at the conclusion of the public comment section. To the extent any other action is warranted, it will be addressed by the Board President or the Superintendent of Schools as appropriate. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you would like to address the Board of Education this evening, please step up to the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 15 minutes. Would anyone like to address the board? No? Okay. Moving on then to our first recognition of the public, I'd like to open the floor to our first recognition of the public. This section is for members of the public to express themselves on school matters of community interest. We'll follow the same outline as detailed in the first public comment section of agenda items only. If you'd like to address the Board of Education this evening, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 15 minutes. Would anyone like to address the board this evening? No? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to our committee reports. First, I'll ask Mr. Kevin Malloy, chairperson of our Facilities and Finance, to please give his committee's report. Mr. Malloy.
Thank you, Ms. Grant. The Facilities and Finance Committee has not had occasion to meet as a committee since our June 23rd public meeting. Correct. However, we do have one action item. Following the 23rd public meeting, the Board of Education met executive session to discuss, and everybody here knows what we're talking about, so I'll do this fairly quickly, to discuss the merit goals that were set forth for our superintendent during the past school year. It was the board's unanimous determination that Dr. Clark has met these goals, and as such, we have one action item, action item 15FF001, and that would be that the superintendent of schools has achieved her qualitative merit goals as laid out before, and is hereby awarded a one-time non-pensionable non-cumulative merit payment for the 2013-14 school year in the amount of $7,756. So I seek a motion on that one item.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Malloy? Seeing none, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes.
All those motion carries.
Thank you. I'd like to move on, please, to our committee report from our Policy and Curriculum Committee. Mrs. McLaughlin is the chair of that committee. Mrs. McLaughlin, can you please give your committee's report this evening?
Personnel.
It's at the bottom of the agenda. Thank you.
Right at the bottom.
Okay, did we get it on policy next?
I'm just trying to follow the order.
No, but I can go in any order. Okay, we're going to change it up. We're going to go to our personnel negotiations. Mr. Dan McTiernan is the chair of that committee. Mr. McTiernan, can you give your committee report, please?
Sure. The P&N committee did not have an opportunity to meet since our last formalized scheduled board meeting. At that meeting, we did have one item that was moved forward that we are now able to conclude, and that was after accepting with regret the resignation of our current BA and having BA candidates go through the vetting process and having one selected, reviewed by the board, and then voted on. That individual was moved forward to the county superintendent of schools for approval, which is also within the approval process. It has come back from the county superintendent as approved, and we now put forth action item 15PN001, which is the approval for the employment of Anthony, I'm going to massacre his poor last name, but Jeskiewicz. AJ, as he likes to be referred to. So with that, I'd like to put forward the that action item.
Motion.
Second. Any questions for Mr. McTiernan? No? Seeing none, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Okay, and now moving on to our policy and curriculum report. Mrs. McLaughlin, please, can you please give your committee's report? Thank you.
The Policy Curriculum Committee has not formally met since the last board meeting, but we have corresponded via email. We have one action item tonight, action item 15, PC001. It is a three-year plan for servicing our English language services students. We currently have less than 10 students in the district, and we are required to provide a plan for those students. So we're moving this forward tonight as the plan for those particular group of students. So with that being said, moving for motion.
Motion.
Dan?
Second.
Kevin, Laura? Any questions for Mrs. McLaughlin? Seeing none, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Mr. Creda?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Thank you. I'd like to take this time to introduce Ms. Gwen Thornton, our NJSBA representative. Ms. Thornton is going to work with us tonight on the establishment of our district goals for 2014-2015. She's also going to review our board self-evaluation that we all participated in within the last 6 weeks. Ms. Thornton?
Hi, good evening. It's a pleasure to be back. I can't believe another school year has come and gone. And it's nice to see that this is not snow. I'll take it any day, much better. You may recall that we discussed in February and set some very specific district goals. And at that point in time, we talked about that, and you probably will recognize the slides that we talked about, goals being the foundation for policy making, to allocate your resources appropriately, to ensure that you are remaining accountable to your community, to continue to be about continuous improvement for your students and your staff. And we talked about looking at it systematically. Tonight we just approved the merit goals, which are really an outgrowth of the more general district goals. And so we talked about the board governance cycle, and this really tonight is about getting back on the cycle, about looking at where you are from this year as the baseline, making sure you have aligned all of your resources so that you can put into place the kinds of programs and practices that will lead to improved student outcomes, really so that each child reaches his or her potential. Oops, sorry about that.
Right here.
And very often that's the case because, let's face it, folks, you know, you're working with time. It's not something that happens overnight. It's not that you can ramp up an assembly line, you know, and produce another 200 widgets by making a change, you know, in some of the materials in the manufacturing process. That's not what we do. So oftentimes, educational goals, especially in the area of student achievement, may take multiple years to really make a significant difference and to move the children forward. So we need to look at that. And then, is there anything that's out there on the horizon that's new, that has popped up, that you really need to focus your attention on? Perhaps one of the things that a couple of you commented on in your self-evaluation was around declining enrollment. And that, you know, may not really be new to you, but it's not something that's articulated anywhere in your goals, but it may be something that you need to think about sooner rather than later. And that's what I mean by new. You may not have articulated it yet, but it may be something that's coming on the horizon that you really feel that you need to pay some attention to now for the 14-15 school year, that perhaps, you know, up until now, it really hadn't hit the horizon. Last year, we had Achieve NJ, the new teacher evaluation models. A lot of districts were focusing around that, the implementation of the Common Core, the field testing of the PARC assessments. Stay tuned, because some of those things are likely to change yet again. This new reform movement keeps morphing. We're not at the end of that process. It's likely this week the governor is going to issue an executive order that will reduce the percentage of teacher evaluations that are measured by student assessments from 30% to 20%. And those tests will not be used for teacher evaluations for the next 2 years. They will still be given, is what is thought to be in this new executive order. It has not yet come down, so we're talking speculatively, but according to unnamed sources in the governor's office, that is apparently what the executive order is going to include. So that will look differently last year than we thought it was going to look like even 2 weeks ago or a month ago. So things continue to morph at the state level that do impact what you do. But this is really where we need to begin thinking about goals for next year. And that is, what did we accomplish this past year? What's still in process that you may need to focus on moving forward? And then what do you need to think about for next year? So one of the things that I really do like my boards to do when I start talking about this with them is to think about, because you rarely take the time to sit and say, what is it that we accomplished this year? What are we most proud of? What do we do well? You know, what's wonderful in the district? So I'd like to start there, because I think it's very helpful for all of you to think about it in those terms. What did we accomplish this past year as a board and as a school district? What's in place? What's wonderful? What did you celebrate? What are you most proud of?
Well, I'm going to start with the first thing in our student achievement area, the implementation of the middle school math program. We worked all year with the middle school math teachers to move that program forward, align it with the Common Core, and really get a good handle on what we needed to do with our kids for them to meet the changing requirements at the high school level, so that Clinton Township students would be very prepared for North and where they're moving on to. And so we had success in bringing the high school to our district and working as a team with the high school, which they tell me is historic. It was a historic meeting. So we worked with the high school and we worked with our staff, and it culminated in communication meeting with our parents. And we had, oh gosh, we had over 100 people. I want to say, I think there were about 160 people at a parent presentation on the middle school math program and changes and how it will impact students. We got a very, very positive response from that. And it was doing all of the things that we wanted to do. It was moving the curriculum It was finding the board had in the, put in the budget a support person for seventh grade math that we felt we were lacking based on data assessment that we did a study on eighth grade math results. The board worked well with the superintendent, with the middle school administration and the middle school math teachers, and then it all culminated in communication with parents and articulating with the high school. So I would say that that one piece, it was an enormous effort. It took a lot of time, but I think we're going to get some really positive results from it. I'm very proud of it because it took a lot of effort on a lot of people's parts to make it all happen, and it did.
I'm sure that it did. What else?
Yes.
I think with Dr. Clark and her team and the Board of Education, we delivered a very solid budget for the next fiscal year that focuses on improving student achievement, making sure we had the appropriate staffing needs covered. We were able to manage all of the unfunded mandates that the state has put down towards our way. And we worked well to establish the necessary facility safety and management needs that we had through that budget. And then with Dr. Clark and her team and the budget, I think the budget was communicated to the public very well, and they had multiple opportunities to come, hear how it was developed, and ask any questions that they may have.
Great.
And what's refreshing about that is, I think I alluded to it before, the second year in a row was unanimous with very little controversy, or, you know, but which was very important because in the past we've had a lot of controversy on our budget. So I think it went very smooth for the second year in a row, passing unanimously, again, very little, if any, controversy.
My understanding that this board and our staff and superintendent have, and he wouldn't bring it up himself, but I know one of our board members drove this. We are really, really on top of understanding and effectively implementing teacher evaluation systems. I've talked to people who have met other school boards, and they were pretty amazed at how well we've integrated it, how well we've educated our own people to it, and just how tireless some of these committee members and some of my fellow board executives have been at this. So I think that's something that deserves, you know, a little bit of self-congratulation.
And I have to congratulate the administrators, because although we had a few moments where we thought we would melt down, we got all the evaluations in and registered on TeachScape by June 30th. Which was an accomplishment in it of itself.
Absolutely, and you know, one of the things that wasn't very well known and certainly was not talked about very widely was there was a waiver available.
We tried.
For school districts. But it wasn't even public that there was a waiver available that districts could apply for. So I really applaud the fact that you managed to do all of that as a district and do it well, and do it with fidelity without a waiver, because there were 70 plus districts that applied across the state for a waiver to the requirements because they simply could not
we applied,
keep it up.
We didn't get it.
Staying with Kevin's comments and Drew's comments, it's important work that for student achievement, you've got to have a quality process in order to make that work. So not only did under Drew's leadership the administrators come together to make that happen, maybe more importantly, it also resulted in several initiatives that Dr. Clark drove to help the teachers improve their skill sets and learn some things associated with Danielson that will help them deliver a better quality product to the students and ideally result in a higher student test score. Not that test scores are the ultimate measure, but it definitely is an indicator of success.
So it really did improve the quality of instruction for the kids.
And as Dr. Clark mentioned, the teamwork of the administrators. And some good partnering with segments of, though ideally it'll get to all, teacher
right.
populations.
The DEAC committee worked really, really well in our district. And I heard that they've had a lot of problems elsewhere, but our committee worked very well. And you know, it didn't. Those meetings were not always smooth and sweet, but they were honest and open, and real discussion was had about the problems we were seeing, that we were all seeing, and how to address them. So, you know, we did face the reality of it, and it wasn't always pleasant, but we got through it by working together.
What else?
I'd like to talk about the some of the other student achievement. You know, we were really working on our English language arts program, and we were struggling a bit, particularly around fourth and fifth grade. And I sat with the teachers, and I really listened to what their issues were. And I had to really swallow my pride a little bit to really hear what they were saying about the problems. And we worked out a plan of going to look at some places that had higher test scores than ours and look at best practices. And I set up times for them to do that and articulate and work it through. And they did, and they came back with some great ideas for some programs from Columbia's Teachers College, and we brought in trainers. The board was very proactive in making sure we had professional development money so that we could do that, and we brought in trainers, and fourth and fifth grade really moved forward a lot in the writing process. And so we debriefed at the end of the school year about what we learned and what we needed to do to move it even farther. And we have some concerns about tying in reading with that. And so one of the things I'm going to suggest is that we continue working on that elementary level ELA, but that we pull more reading workshop training into the professional development. And we've already been working on setting that up. And it's really a collaboration between the teachers and finding best practices and really listening to what their concerns were in the program, and taking that all into account and trying to work through problems and solutions. So, you know, I would say it's a success of the teachers, really, because they brought the problems to me and wanted to really do better in their classrooms. And so those fourth grade teachers and fifth grade teachers, I really have to admire. It took a little bit of courage to do that, I think.
Absolutely. Anything else that really stands out for you as your board?
Yes. I'd like to ask Dr. Clark to talk to a little bit how we went out and asked to be a test site for PARC, because I think there's tremendous benefit to the district, to our staff, and to our students. It required a lot of extra work on the part of your staff to do that, but what we gained by doing that, I think, is tremendous for everyone. So if you could talk a little bit about that, that'd be great.
When our curriculum director was at a number of state meetings, they were talking about these field tests, and we made it known that we were interested in field testing. And lo and behold, we were picked. I started to talk to other superintendents around who had serious concerns about whether or not we should be field testing PARC. And we talked about it as an administrative team and decided that we wanted to do it, because if we could figure out what the issues were early enough, we could address them before they counted. And we did that. We field tested. The kids were great. We did some training with the teachers and the kids, and we moved it forward. And then I sat with the kids and debriefed with them. And I didn't ask them about questions on the test. I debriefed with them about process and what their experience was in taking the test. And I did it with the third grade and the seventh grade, which is where we field tested. And the kids were remarkable in their information. I actually shared that in an article I wrote for the newsletter for, you know, the public and parents to talk to them about what the kids saw as the issues in the test. And a lot of it was they felt the test was not fair because they had training for taking the test. And the training that the state gave and all the practice tests, they were able to do things on the practice test that when they actually took the test, they were not allowed to do. And so they felt cheated by that, that it wasn't fair. They also asked for more technology early on. And so, you know, I spoke with the curriculum committee. We had an idea for how to address that. And so we're putting some more technology in our primary buildings because of what the kids told us they were worried about. And we heard a lot about typing faster. And so we actually instituted a new typing program that the kids can work on this summer. And the whole district has access to and is on our website. So there were many little things, you know, there's bandwidth and little issues in taking the test itself that we learned. But it was a really productive exercise. We learned a lot about the future of online testing. And I think that was very helpful for the district.
I think one area that all boards focus on is the bottom there, expand community attendance and participation at board meetings and events. And I think for everyone on the board, it's a little bit frustrating that we don't get more members of the community coming to our meetings. Yet at the same time, isn't that actually an indicator or a sign of success? Because when you're doing something that the community doesn't like, they show up. When you're doing things that the community is comfortable with, they have trust and they let you move forward with the directions that you're going. And other than a few select items where there are certain small populations of the community that may be dissatisfied, in general it seems that the community is happy with what we're doing. Unfortunately, what that does is that keeps them from having the interest to come and attend the meeting on our rainy days.
It's a double-edged sword. You read it? Yes.
I read that. I was thinking the exact same thing you were. The flip side of the community participation that I was thinking of that actually was good is we've done a lot better, I think, inviting the students to come and celebrate their achievements at board meetings than we've done in the past. You know, teachers making presentations about some extracurricular clubs or some scholastic achievements that our kids have been making. And I don't know how the community at large feels about them. I love them.
You know,
it's just a little bit of success at the start of every meeting to remind us what we do, why we do what we do. It's a treat. But
otherwise, you know, you don't get that positive reinforcement.
Yeah. Now, all the parents leave when their children are off the stage.
The
dance point.
The jazz was very good.
But,
I liked it.
Yeah. But it's you know, at least they get a little bit of it.
And they will remember that you celebrated their child, even if they leave,
But the larger point is, I think Dan's right. People come to board meetings when there's a controversy. We're avoiding controversy, apparently.
You know, I think that there's a piece that we're missing too, and I think we kind of take some of it for granted in terms of when we're putting the budget together. The business office has had a lot of success in really looking at the line items, all right, and saying, okay, where can we address this area or that area? You know, we changed our prescription plan this year and saved money for the teachers and the district. We did some changes to transportation, which were challenging for all of us, but they did,
very,
you know,
very
help in terms of budget areas.
Very successful with the ROD grants.
So, right, the ROD grants. So there were a number of items from the business office that I think were successes for us. And I think we forget about that sometimes, to remember that the importance of that in terms of managing all, if we didn't have some of those successes, we wouldn't have the money to do some of those curriculum things.
Yes, absolutely. And that's really one of the reasons that I like to just take a few minutes and talk about those kinds of things, because it's a very long year and it's very hard to keep all of that in your head. But there are lots of successes that you have that aren't necessarily directly tied to your goal, but those kinds of efficiencies that you're able to implement to enable you to bring in that professional development from Teachers College, you know, reading a writer's workshop or whatever it is, those kinds of things that you're doing. And that's really important to be able to do that. And the taxpayers appreciate it as well, because you're able to demonstrate that you are being fiscally, you know, efficient, responsible, and you know, getting every nickel to make the best educational impact that you can, that you're really being cognizant of all of those things.
I think Mr. Sturgis had one you wanted to add.
You don't need to write it down, but two things that I was thinking of was in the community partnership, and Dr. Clark, you touched on it for a second, the parent resource page. That's something we talked about for a while. It was nice we were able to get it, and there's some good information on there. And then, I guess in supportive environment, we're going into, I think it's the third year since we reinstituted the co-teaching model, and there was a period of time where we spent a lot of energy looking at the inclusion model and trying to decide if it was the best model and if it was effective, and there's just a lot of energy. And I think it was about 3 years ago this July that we had reinstituted the co-teaching model K-6, and just from my observation, it's been getting better each year. It's been implemented, and the staff are more comfortable with it, and the parents and kids are more comfortable with it, and it's an area that I think we're strong in.
All right, what's in progress from up here, if there's nothing else that you want to identify? What's in progress that we need to carry forward for the 2014-15 goals? In other words, I know you made progress in each one of these areas,
right,
but there may be, for example, you identify
well,
the writing in ELA,
right,
English language arts grades 4 and 5, but now you want to focus on the...
Right, so I think... If I take it from the top, I would say we really did the implementation of the middle school math program. I think what we have to do now, what we started to develop concerns about, was really strengthening math instruction on the elementary level. So I would say that in terms of the student achievement goal, we really have to strengthen that elementary math program.
And ELA grades 4 and 5?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, the elementary level ELA, I don't know that it really says. You know, we're working on it, and to me, that's inclusive of reading and writing, but I don't know if we want to be more specific in expanding the Reader's Workshop program.